Sometimes life is hard, and you just need someone to talk to. Someone who's been there and understands.
That it's about overcoming.
Inspiring others to be brave.
Friendship.
Faith.
Being real.
And living beautifully whole.
So kick back and spend some time with the girls on the Big Blue Couch.
Welcome back to the Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show with Rachel Chumley and Mandy B. Anderson. Coming up is our Real Talk segment with Mandy and I, and later on in the show, we'll be doing Walk by Faith with Joette and your weekly truth statement. This new format will give you a chance to hear from the whole team at Big Blue Couch Coaching as we share life coaching tips and encouragement to help you live a beautifully whole life. Hey guys, it's your life coach, Rachel, and I'm going to take a few moments to get real with you and give you some life coaching tips to help you grow. And today we're going to continue our series called Why Dads Matter. And here's just a couple of statistics for you guys. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 1/3 of U.S. kids are growing up in households without a father in the home. And the presence of a father has a positive impact on his children. We all know that. Research shows this over and over again, that having a father figure is a crucial part of healthy development for a child. Children really need both of their parents to be involved. Interesting thing is today I just looked up on Google the phrase, why dads matter, and there are 16 million hits on that particular phrase, why dads matter. Statistics show that fatherless families are an increase, and more men are having a hard time growing into their roles as dads. It really does take a different kind of commitment for a father to have a child, past conception, and really to become a dad. And today, we're going to be talking about characteristics of a great dad. And we're starting a series within a series of six characteristics of a great dad. And we are honored to have two very special people in the studio today. We have Brandon Chumley and Lance Merrickey, and these guys are otherwise known as the Men in the Den. And they're going to be with us today to give their perspective on fatherhood and this very important topic. So Brandon is actually my husband, and he works as a drilling foreman for Hunt Oil. He has a schedule that keeps him away from home half the year, so I know you guys are really going to appreciate his insight on fatherhood and how he juggles that with his busy schedule. And we have three children under the ages of 9. So, Brandon, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hello.
And then we have Lance Merrickey in the studio with us as well, who is my brother and is the husband of Madison, a.k.a. the keeper of the couch. And he works for Grand Theaters and has a passion for young men. And he is a busy father of a little girl who is 3.5. So, Lance, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi. Are you guys excited?
A little bit.
Yeah, really excited.
You kind of both look at me like deer in the headlights a little bit. It's okay. It'll be just fine, I promise. So, today we're talking about characteristics of a great dad. And the first one we want to talk about is that they spend quality time with their kids. And we know that dads really like to have fun with their children, but it goes beyond that. They take them to games, movies, they support them by going to their baseball games. But quality time also means making time to listen, time to talk, time to help them with homework. A dad's time is one of the best gifts a child can ever have. So the question for Brandon and Lance is, with your busy schedules, how do you spend quality time with your kids? Brandon, let's go ahead and let you start this one.
When I'm home from work, I try to single each kid out individually and bring them to do something that they like alone. And then during the day, I try to spend quality time either working in the garage or going over to grandparents and visiting people.
So a lot of your quality time with them is mostly bringing them along to whatever activities you're doing.
Yes, since I'm home and I'm not working at all, I try to incorporate them in everything I do during the day.
Do you think that's something that most men do really easily, just bring their kids along everywhere that they're going, or do you think that's a hard thing to do?
I have to admit, even it's hard for me sometimes, but I know that I need to do it because I am away for 2 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you said that you take each one of our kids individually.
they all love it. Even little Chloe, who's only three, likes to go anywhere, Shields or the grocery store. She right. loves it.
And sometimes you are just doing errands, right?
Yep.
Our kids like going to Shields and the grocery store, and they love going out to the dump. I don't know. I mean, we make everything fun. You have to figure out how to do quality time with your kids. So, Lance, how do you do that with the busy schedule that you have? And you and your wife work really opposite schedules a lot, so that you can limit your time with daycare for your little one. So, how do you do quality time and make that a priority?
I think it's just really important to play as much as possible. Mm-hmm. My little girl just loves to get down and play with Barbies or dolls or anything like that. And I think it's easy for us as men to get caught up on our phone or on TV because there's always something else to do.
Right.
So we have to be intentional about playing and getting down on her level. And like Brandon said, just taking them with. Mm-hmm. That is such an important thing for them to go with us whatever we're doing mm-hmm. is important to them. So I think that's a good one.
Great. So the number one thing on here for great characteristics of great dads is that they spend quality time with their kids. And the second one is that he leads by example, which means great dads do not use the motto, do as I say, not as I do. They will actually demonstrate by example how they want their children to live. So for example, if they want their children to live out faith and values that they feel are important, they will take the time to teach them loyalty and family and honesty and hard work. If they don't want their kids to smoke or to drink heavily, they won't smoke or drink heavily. They'll teach them how to deal with conflict and show people respect and honor. And they'll also illustrate the importance of affection. I love this one. By professing the love for the mom in front of them. So question for both of you guys. What are some of the ways that you lead your young children by example when it comes to your values, your lifestyle, and your marriage? And Lance, if you want to give us your thoughts on that.
I think number one with our marriage, Madison and I are very intentional when it comes to praying together, mm-hmm. Sitting down and having meals together. Values-wise, you know, it's hard to teach a three-year-old not to lie and to teach her to share and to teach her those quality things that are a social aspect for right. everybody. So I think you have to be very intentional again. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to want your child to be successful in those areas. And so teaching them, hey, when they lie to someone, that's wrong. Or when they throw a fit and they cry because they don't get their way, that's wrong. Teaching those things that are values of me, I think will go a long way for her future.
Mm-hmm. It is hard to teach a toddler and a three-year-old and little kids that kind of stuff. So one of the things that we often teach with any kind of behavior change is consistency. Would you agree that that's something as a father you need to lead by example to in consistency?
Definitely. That's probably one of the most important things is if they see you one day say something mm-hmm. and the next day it's completely opposite, well, that throws their little world on top of each other.
Right.
So, yeah, you have to be consistent every day.
All right, Brandon, you want to add some thoughts to this lead by example?
I believe in respect, and like Lance said, having a biblically background is really good. I like to show my children that I have respect for others, and I like to teach my children they need to have respect for others. Like shaking hands with men between Eli.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of said that weird, but... And I want my daughters to understand that they need to treat their mother with respect and their grandmother and their other family.
Good. So you guys both have children under 9. I mean, all of our kids are under 9. So have you guys seen, I'm going to throw a pop question out here. Have you guys seen any little growth or sprouts with being consistent and leading by example with your kids as they've been growing up? Are you seeing, because you're leading by example and because you're consistency, are you seeing them start to adapt to some of these things you're teaching?
Yes, I have. Rachel, you and I have been working with Eli, who has had a horrible time with saying he's sorry to people.
Mm-hmm.
And he has come a long ways, and now even without prompting, he will apologize, which is just amazing.
Right. We had a little bit of a pride issue.
Yes.
We had to work on.
I think that might have came from his father.
How about you, Les? I know your little one's still kind of small, but are you starting to see
some actually, it's funny because Mason had the problem, too, with saying sorry. You know, she would not do it. And she threw a fork one time at our dinner table and would not apologize. But slowly but surely, keeping that consistency, she'll do it too. And it's cool to see that she'll take responsibility now and say, okay, Daddy, I'm sorry. I know that was wrong. Or I lied. Just the other day, she cut her shirt. And this morning she wore the shirt and she goes, but I told mommy I didn't lie. And I said, yeah, that's good. Good right? job. So it's cool to see those little things and those little behaviors being able to change.
Right. Right. That's awesome. And gives you a boost to keep moving forward on those days when they don't seem to have learned anything.
Definitely. So,
all right. So to recap, we've got characteristic number one. He spends quality time with them. Characteristic number two, he leads by example. And that's going to lead us right into characteristic number three. He is a good disciplinarian. And people are all over the board when it comes to discipline in a family. But we really believe here, because the research shows, first of all, that children really do thrive on boundaries. And it's easier when two parents share the load of enforcing rules and giving that tough love. And men, whether we like it or not, often have an easier time setting those firmer boundaries with their children and helping them develop those social skills that are appropriate and healthy. And one of the things I found while doing research on why dads matter, and specifically the scientific research, is it shows that children who are raised with an authoritative but loving parent actually have a higher degree of emotional self-control than children who do not. They're also better at developing resiliency and persevering through struggles as adults. So the research is showing that parenting needs to have discipline and love at the same time. So question for you guys is, what has your experience been like as you've learned to discipline your children? Which I know is kind of an open-ended question. But Brandon, if you want to start first on this one, just kind of give your experience so far as a dad.
Well,
discipline.
With being away for 2 weeks, it's been difficult.
People probably wonder how we do that.
Yes, but I try to talk to my children every day about respecting mommy when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that when we have had problems, I've been able to call and we've been able to get on speakerphone.
Yes.
and discuss what they're doing wrong and where they need to go from where we are.
Right. One of the things we do as a family, because you are gone a lot, that people might be wondering about is how we do discipline in our home. And it's not daddy disciplines when he's there and then mommy disciplines when mommy's there.
Right.
Granted, little things we do, but when it comes down to those serious things like lying or the behavior is just so bad, Brandon will parent through speakerphone or by video. I've brought him in many times in the middle of a fit with the children to be like, you want to talk to your dad about this? And so even though you're many miles away, you're very much the disciplinarian figure in the family, and they understand that just because dad's gone doesn't mean they get away with everything.
Nope. And they actually seem to do really well with it, too.
They do. They do. I mean, sometimes we do things by trial and error because you are gone, but so far it seems to work with discipline, that even through the phone, I mean, I'm hoping that works into their teenage years, but so far.
Yes, and I really think it goes back to they are learning really good respect, mm-hmm. because they treat both of us with quite a bit of respect.
All right, so Lance, what would you like to share on your experience as far as learning how to discipline your child? And you have a strong-willed child, which
yes,
we all kind of do have a couple of them in our families.
We have three or four of them, really. I think it comes down to consistency again.
Okay.
And also, I believe that every child is different. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to work for Mason is not going to work for 90% of the kids out there.
True.
And I've really had to learn, and Madison has really helped me, because right away, I think maybe I'm too harsh on her, and Madison will pull me back in, which is good. And so knowing that, you know, sometimes I can't raise my voice because Mason's little spirit will get broken. Or
right.
There are certain things that we've learned over time that have really helped,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, sometimes she really just needs to throw a fit and cry it out.
Right.
So I'll take her to a quiet place and I'll be like, hey, do you need to cry this out? And she'll be like, yes. And then she'll do it.
Right.
And it's worked. It's really worked for us. And I believe that the consistency has really, really helped.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you said that every kid is different, which actually in part two of the series, you guys are going to touch on that a little bit more with Mandy next week. And but that's true. And I think it comes down to discipline. We don't discipline our kids the same. We have three kids. They all get disciplined a little bit different because some things work for one that do not work for the other ones. So, all right, you guys. Well, I want to thank you guys for all of your wisdom that you shared today. For the other dads listening, I'm sure they're going to really appreciate it and get some great nuggets out of here. But I want to give our listeners three real life applications from what you just heard today that you can do this week. So, dads, if you're listening, what I want you to do this week, number one, is make a date with your child or your children this week. Take them to the movies, go to the park. Doesn't have to be extravagant or even cost anything. The point is to show each one of your children they are important and worth your time. Number two, ask yourself this question: am I teaching my child by example? If you don't like the answer that you get, look for some help to help you set some good boundaries and some good examples for your child. And number three, reinforce those boundaries that might be slipping in your family. Don't leave it up to mom to discipline all the time. Step up and get involved with your children's correction and discipline. And we want to thank you so much for listening to us and joining us for Real Talk. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we've got some great Walk by Faith tips with Mandy.
Living beautifully whole requires skills. Big Blue Couch Coaching has just what you need with a monthly life coaching workshop designed just for you. For all the latest dates and details, visit www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com/workshops.
Hey everyone, it's Mandy, and I want to welcome you to Walk by Faith. This is a segment that we bring to you every Monday with a daily boost of faith and encouragement to help you be brave, overcome obstacles, and live beautifully whole. And our topic today is called Judging a Book by the Cover. And we're going to reference a scripture from Psalm 139, verse 14. It says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." As long as I can remember, people have judged me before they really knew me. I was like that book on a shelf that they judged by my cover without even reading the synopsis. When my parents built their dream house in a small town, I was judged as the snobby, rich, only child. When other women would look at me and see my thin frame as an adult, I would be judged as the skinny girl who really needs to eat a cheeseburger. During flu season, I would be judged as the sick girl who needs to be careful because of her condition. And when I'd get on a stage to share my gifts and talents with others, I was judged as a prideful woman who would do anything to be in the spotlight. The truth is, each of these labels stuck with the force of superglue. For years, I didn't even know that they were there. And I began to judge others, too, because of their sneaky existence in my heart. There's a phrase that says, "Hurting people hurt people." And with the issue of judgment, that rings true. The depth of our unresolved hurts always determines the depth of pain that we will exert on others. It is impossible to be confident and live a beautifully whole lifestyle when we are holding on to unresolved pain. It's impossible to be a woman of worth when you hold on to bitterness and refuse to forgive others for judging you. Let me tell you something. A few years ago, I came to the realization that there was a judgment call, an icky, sticky label that kids I didn't know at all had placed on me when I was growing up. This label was so deeply buried that it took me 20 years to find it. And with it came the insecurity that people always thought that I was spoiled, selfish, and a wicked witch with a capital B. Of course, none of this was true. It took texting one of my BFFs and sharing my heart for the dam to finally break. And oh, what peace came gushing through when God revealed the root of that judgment. I extended forgiveness right there in the middle of my bedroom, and I had a pep talk with myself, promising to put a stop to this judgment cycle. And that's exactly what you must do as women, as humans, as children of God. We can't stop people from judging us or putting labels on us, but we are not powerless. We can do something. Number one, we can forgive. We can forgive them, and we can also forgive ourselves for agreeing with them and continuing the judgment cycle. And then we can also ask God to forgive us, because He promises that when we forgive, so will he. The second thing we can do is make a proclamation to stop speaking similar judgments about other people. And last, we can encourage ourselves with words of life from God's living word. I want to encourage you to take some time this week to reflect on the different judgments that people have made about you. Journal about it and list those labels that you have carried with you for far too long. Then ask God to help you forgive the people who made those judgments against you. Rip up that piece of paper and then fill yourself up with this truth. The truth from this week by meditating on the scripture verse from Psalm 139:14. Each of us has a story. In a sense, we are all books that are still being written. Our covers might be messy, they might be damaged, or they might be shiny and perfect looking. But that shouldn't stop us from opening the pages. We shouldn't banish each other to the shelves of shame and isolation. We should live freely and in harmony. I'm done judging others by their covers, and I boldly make this statement. I hope you'll join me. In closing, I want you to know that I am honored to spend time with you this week to help you take a step of faith. Make sure you take time to meditate on this week's verse and follow through with the journal questions. Thanks for spending time with me, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye.
Have you ever struggled with comparing yourself to others and embracing your God-given talents and dreams? The Unashamed Bible Study is designed to help you erase the lies and discover the truth about who God says you are. It's time to embrace your authentic self with an easy-to-apply 30-day Bible study. Learn more at www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com/unashamed.
We want to thank you for listening to our show this week, and we want to give you a truth statement that you can focus on this week. So write it down, post it somewhere that you can see it, and really make this statement a part of your reality. Here it is. I am wonderfully made, worthy, and whole. I'll say it again. I am wonderfully made, worthy, and whole. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week on the Girls on the Big Blue Couch show.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Big Blue Couch. For all the latest updates, free resources, upcoming events, and coaching services, be sure to visit www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter for daily connection with the team. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Remember to tune in next week for more tips on living beautifully whole with the Girls on the Big Blue Couch.